The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners. On The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Ger Gilroy is with me from Off The Ball. Alison Curtis from Weekend Breakfast on Today FM. Before we pick winners of the week, Owen was with us earlier talking, amongst other things, about the NFL Super Bowl this weekend, but the announcement as well of a game here.
Yeah, so the Pittsburgh Steelers are coming in September. This has been long mooted and actually, I think, agreed months and months and months ago, but there was a fight over which government minister was going to be front and centre. And, oh, sorry, the cabinet had to approve it finally.
Oh, yeah.
but yeah, like, look, 80,000 people in Croke Park. It's obviously when the college football comes, they announce a year in advance. So everybody from that college has a year to decide that they're going to go as a family. And it's been a massive success. With the NFL, it's just NFL fans from all around Europe. So I presume that hotels have already ratcheted up prices to, you know, $1,000 a night, and everybody's on Airbnb charging 10 grand for the weekend. I just need to check some notifications coming in from Airbnb. it's great. I think it's great. Like, we'll go mad for NFL, and hopefully it's a success, and this is at least every second year with the Steelers. But there's a possibility the Jets also have rights to Ireland, so they could have a game, and then it would be Steelers, Jets for the next 4 or 5 years, which would be great.
Yeah, it'd be
that's
cool.
Amazing.
Alison, who's your winner of the week?
The Jets. No, just kidding. I don't know. A Danish bakery. So have you seen
a very specific Danish bakery?
Started with one and now loads of them are doing it. So there's a traditional bun and it's called...
What do they call a Danish pastry in a Danish bakery?
I wonder, actually.
They just call it that pastry.
Well, these buns are called Kovaji cage cakes and they're traditional ones, but they've remodeled them now in bright orange icing to look like Donald Trump with crazy hair and like jowls, and they're calling them moron buns. And I like that a lot.
And what is the moron? Is that like?
It's a play on words, a Danish word that I can't pronounce, but it does translate to moron
cake.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So this is obviously off the back of Trump's pitch to buy Greenland, and obviously,
oh yeah, yeah.
And, but in quotations, Trump's like, I'm not sure what the Danish claim is on Greenland, but I'm sure Greenland want to be part of us. They just want to be part of us. So then obviously that's upset a lot of other people. And so that's how they've reacted. And I love that. So it's you can see photographs of them all online and they're just like these little tiny disgusting looking buns, but they all look like...
I wonder how they're selling.
I wonder how they taste actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Orange, yeah. Citrus flavored.
Moron buns.
Yeah.
Like the icing is the mouth.
Yeah.
And then the hair is all like messy. And
so you're not enthused at being a kind of a citizen of the 51st state, no?
It's already like kicked off.
Could be 52nd
badly.
If Greenland gets in quick.
Yeah, I know.
Got to move quickly, Alison. You Canadians got to move quickly.
That's 53?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really scary already, though. Like, and a poll was released 2 days ago where Canadians, 90% of Canadians now feel that the trust, you know, historically, the two have gone along pretty well for the last little while. They just feel really untrusting now.
But I saw the videos of them booing the Star Spangled Banner at the NHL games. You see this?
No.
Yeah.
So any of the NHL games that have been in Canada, which is, you know, most of them, half of them anyway, the Star Spangled Banner is getting booed by the audience.
Yeah.
Why didn't they play the Star Spangled Banner before games in Canada anyway? What is it? It's a real...
I don't know, actually. That's a good question.
Why do they play national anthems before
the Canadian ones?
Lots of sports, including Gaelic games.
Yes. Anyway. But all of the shops now, loads of them are putting up buy Canadian signs. So all of the products that are 100% made, like people are going for that. But it is like, it's already having an impact and people are already getting freaked out.
Yeah.
The pause is only
plus
for
you
a month.
You'd get rickets if all you ate was maple syrup.
Would you?
I think you would, yeah.
Full of good things. It's good full of good things.
It's totally natural. That comes from a plant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a vegan friendly diet.
Yeah.
Vegetable.
Anyway, it's not great. But yeah, Danish bakeries are my winners.
All right. Ger, who's your winner of the week?
Well, it has to be the government, right? I mean, they've got a great welcome for themselves. They're doing an amazing job. The country's never been better. And they just managed to lie about the housing stats and the build-up to the last election and totally get away with it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Election is done. You know, such thing as buyer's remorse.
Do you think we're entering into a phase now where actually they're looking at what happens in America and going, nothing matters. If you have the parliamentary majority, which they do have, absolutely nothing matters. They're not going to be held to account.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Social Democrats fired somebody for having shares that he had got while doing work for a company that subsequently sold. Like, do you expect anybody in government to get fired for something similar now? That they would hold themselves to similar standards, having got into bed with Michael Lowry.
Yeah. Mm. No, I guess there's a few ways to look at it. You could say it's just at this point in the parliamentary cycle is the point at which none of these things have the same ramification as they might later. You know, how was this a month before an election rather than the month after? It might be getting an awful lot more attention. But there's a kind of a sense of they've got away with it. It's kind of too late. You know what I mean? Like, unless somebody in government is so outraged that they participated in this lie that they're going to kind of collapse the government from within, then it doesn't actually matter.
Exactly. But what is that? What does that say about the system that we've managed to get ourselves into? And also, what does it mean for the rest of their term? They basically managed to, on one of the key issues, they managed to completely botch the thing that they were supposed to fix, lied to the public essentially about what they'd done, and then afterwards it emerges and everyone's like, what can we do about it now?
Yeah. They'd refute that contention. They would say they didn't lie, they relied on faulty data.
Yeah. Well,
I thought Simon Harris was going to be your winner. Because today he tweeted a photograph that he got dressed too quickly and he put on mismatching shoes. And I thought that was a really honest tweet. Or ex, or whatever you want to call it now.
Simon Harris. I'm going to have a go at Simon Harris. Simon Harris.
For wearing two different shoes?
For wearing two different shoes, exactly. Simon Harris went on Claire Byrne today and had a go at Dara O'Brien. Said Dara O'Brien should never have said that. Should never have claimed 40,000 houses were being built. And
he was in government.
Yeah, Simon Harris.
He was the Taoiseach.
But also, Simon Harris is now our chief diplomat.
He's your sinner.
He's my sinner. Anyway, I'm getting in on the action.
I think that's a symptom of the situation that we find ourselves in, where they're not being held to account properly, either by the opposition or by us in the media. When the Sock Dems were busy firing...
Owen Hayes. Palantir, wasn't that the company?
That was it. That was it. One of the Sock Dems said that,
he sponsors the NFL.
This is just the journalist trying to dig a story out and they're going to all be working for the governor 2 weeks anyway. And he got hammered for it. It was Gary Gannon and he had to apologise for it and he's apologised for it profusely. And I listened to a Sunday RT Radio 1 interview with the leader
There's
of the Sock Dems.
The opposition a lot here now.
there was a good kind of 5 minutes about, he was wrong to say that, wasn't he? And then here we have loads of journalists have just ended up signing for the government in the last week or so. So I don't know. I'm not sure that the political journalists are holding the government to account the way they need to be. I'm not sure the opposition are holding them. And I certainly think the electorate didn't do a very good job of it either. So.
Yeah.
We're all sinners.
Everyone's a sinner. That's your winner of the week.
Yeah, right. So who's your
winner? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hold your horses. Alison, what's on the show this weekend?
Where to start? It's a long list of people.
Wow, that's like when someone says, that's a great question, because trying to think, what am I going to say to that?
Holly Willoughby.
All right.
Oh, wow.
And Bear Grylls.
No way.
Boris Becker. I had a crush on him in the 90s, I'm going to be honest.
These are great gets.
Boris Becker's on.
Yeah.
Wow, is he coming in?
No, it's... Mel B. So they're all part of Netflix Bear Grylls celebrity show. So yeah.
Celebrity
Boris
Bear
was
Hunt?
Interesting, I've got to say.
Yeah.
He was like, what am I looking at? And because I was in my daughter's bedroom, I was planning on re-recording my part here. But anyway, I was like, don't look. He goes, I'll just look at your face. I'm like, oh God, okay.
Wow. I mean, I'd say there's like part of you is like, okay.
Well, yeah.
Okay,
well, okay, Boris.
Yeah.
Was
it a case of never meet your heroes or how did it go?
I wouldn't say he was a hero. He was a crush when I started really getting into tennis.
Okay.
He was much older than me, I'd like to point out when that happened. But it was a cool moment. Yeah.
Bear Grylls, Holly Willoughby, that's good.
I liked Holly. Yeah, no, I liked them both. I'm looking forward to hearing it back again. That's who's on show anyway.
That's on the show this weekend. Jure, who's your sinner of the week?
Irish accents and pop culture. I don't know why I'm so annoyed by this or why I should care about this.
Okay, first, let's take a listen to this clip.
A liar.
Aye.
Care to prove it? Shall we go back inside and you can tell the sheriff the truth?
He's not in Wyoming. He's not anywhere.
How would you know? How would you know where he is?
No bank will let a woman carry a note. No government will transfer a lease for her either. Your little charade can only last so long.
When my charade is over, so are you. Men kill with bullets or a noose, which is to say men kill quick. Their fight is with me now. I kill much slower.
So what's that from, Ger?
That is from 1923, which is all part of that whole Yellowstone.
Oh, is this the prequel with Harrison Ford?
Yeah, yeah. And there's another prequel which goes back to the 1880s, which I haven't watched yet. But so the other voice you hear there is Jerome from Robson and Jerome.
Mm-hmm.
He's the actor, Bron.
Sorry, that wasn't meant to be Irish, was it?
No, that was the other actor was Scottish.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Helen Mirren was supposed to be Irish, but it turns out Jerome was actually
Mirren,
English.
Helen Mirren, the menacing.
As well. Helen Mirren, yeah.
It's always disappointing, isn't it? I watched a movie called Joyrider with Olivia Colman from 2022 a few nights ago, and I was like, this is going to be good. And her Irish accent was okay, but it's just, it's so hard to do.
Just takes it out of it.
Exactly, yeah.
There's actually much worse, more egregious. Helen Mirren, such a legend.
Yeah.
One of the all-time great careers, right? Amazing. But I don't know why they just didn't make her English in it.
Yeah.
Just let her have her own accent. It would have been totally fine.
Mm.
Or she could have been second generation or put on an American accent and her dad came over and she came over as a child and lost her accent. One line would have fixed it. But there's a bunch of horrific nuns and priests and they're the most violent, evil people in the whole show, in a show festooned with violence and evil. But every time they're battering some child or killing each other, the Lord have mercy on your soul, baby. And you're like, oh my God.
It's systemic. It's been going on throughout years. The Irish accent's just never been perfected.
But do other people hear their accent in the same way we hear ours?
Well,
are we just conscious of how bad the Irish accent is because we know what it sounds like?
If you watch back The Wire.
Yeah.
Do English people hear an American do an English accent go,
ugh. Well, English people don't have musical
ears. I feel like the Irish in particular has been butchered the most, though. It has been butchered the most.
But even by some Irish people on, you know, American TV, looking at anybody who's ever been on Saturday Night Live, they've always ruined their own accents.
Yes.
Like, stop it.
We're so,
yeah,
why
that's
are we,
true.
I don't, it doesn't bother me. We're very prickly about what other
don't
people think.
Don't get him talking about SNL anyway.
It totally takes you out
rubbish.
Of the moment. I'm not a huge fan of SNL. The other one, Only Murders in the Building.
Oh my God!
The Irish accent.
When Steve Martin did it and Martin Short, Martin Short, it was so bad.
It was,
and the nurse, there was a nurse.
Paul Rudd, it was Paul Rudd.
Oh, that was so bad.
Paul Rudd.
So
now,
bad.
So I went down a Reddit hole on this, and apparently Paul Rudd was in Ireland.
That's why he wanted to do it.
Is in Ireland alone, does a decent Irish accent, but they made him ham it up so everybody would know, oh, you're Irish.
Yeah.
You're not like just one of those.
The only thing he did in Only Murders I thought was really good is he did a lot of M's instead of ums. I'm like, that's good.
But so what's the suggestion is that you have to ham it up to convey the Irishness
to the
American audience, otherwise they
like
won't
a stereotype.
Know.
Okay,
yeah,
it's like a big flashing sign that goes, "These are dirty priests and nuns who have come to cleanse you of your dirt too." By beating the crap out of everybody.
Is it any good, 1923?
Well, it could be. I don't know. I can't tell anymore.
Oh, so you can't even enjoy it anymore?
No, it's ruined. Honestly, large tracts of it are like, stop it.
And I get distracted. I'd be like that as well. I often am angry as well, Jer. Yellowstone, I couldn't get into.
Yellowstone was about 50 episodes too long. It was great in parts, but it was very cartoonish. Like loads of cartoonish things happen, you know. There's not giving too much away here, but there's like in 1923, there's a marriage breaks up in Africa and they happen to be on the same boat home to America. You're like, oh, come on. Come on, the writers here are like, ChatGPT, we're very bored.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you're on the Africa to America boat.
Yeah, there's only one.
Yeah. Anyway, do you notice bad Canadian accents?
But nobody cares enough to do that, I think. I don't know. When Americans are going back to SNL, when people are trying to make fun of Canadians, it's always like, it turns into Fargo accents, like Minnesota accents or something.
Yeah.
It doesn't bug me, though.
Doesn't bug you.
Terrence and Phillip. That was
blame Canada.
But you don't get uptight about it like Jer.
No, I get uptight about the Irish people taking off really horrible Irish accents. That really bugs me.
We're very prickly, I think, about that type of thing. It's like when SNL, when they slag us about kind of being drunkards or something as well. I mean,
the Family Guy where they fly into
that's exactly what I was thinking of, all the bottles.
Yeah,
clink, 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 clink.
Yeah, that's fine.
To your point earlier, I don't know if you watched back The Wire, but when I watched The Wire the first time, I was like, Noddy's accent's not great, is it? I didn't realise Idris Elba's accent is also terrible.
Is it?
Well, McNulty is horrific. He is just... do you remember McNulty's accent?
No.
McNulty's a posh English boy who's living in Ireland.
Yeah, lives in Limerick, yeah.
His accent is Prince Charles is perfect. That's actually probably how I suspect he speaks in real life.
Yeah.
It's in a county, it's not city. It's in a castle somewhere. But his Baltimore accent is
Glynn.
Horrific.
He's married to the daughter of the Knight of Glynn. Isn't that it? The Earl of Glynn. Anyway. So I didn't realise he has a bad accent. Does Idris Elba's accent, is his not a good accent, no?
I mean, yes, if you watch it for the first time, you think, oh, he's American.
See, people in Baltimore, they're giving out like you.
They are.
They're like, why did I get that?
The Boston one really is overused as well, and people get tired when that's not done well as well.
All right. Mm. Okay. So those are, well, that's your sinner of the week. What's your sinner of the week?
People are really critical of Lily Collins having a baby through surrogate. So somebody I follow online made a really good point, put up an image of Margot Robbie's postnatal body and Lily Collins' baby or body after having a baby, which is not affected directly. It will be. But anyway, and it's just women can't win. So it's like, oh, Margot Robbie's really let herself go. She says, Lily Collins is so concerned about her weight that she wouldn't have her own baby and blah, blah, blah. And there are obviously, depending on territories, ethical issues around surrogacy and things like that. So it's a partnership you want to be sure of when you enter into it. But just, yeah, like
what's the nature of the criticism?
Just, oh, she was too, like you can,
too posh.
Hiring a woman's body for your own, you know, because she's rich, she's well off, she can do that. And look, like we all know, like raising children's expensive and a lot of people are struggling with doing all of that. And it's like an A-list person is outside of that realm and the initial startup is 80 to 100,000, you know, all that kind of stuff to hire a surrogate. So people are just saying, most people are doing it just to stay thin. Like they blame Sarah Jessica Parker about that, Nicole Kidman about that as well. But we don't know. They haven't come out and said why. So it's all this pile on, which is awful, which maybe physically she couldn't and she wanted to have a child. So They're my sinners, the critics.
And are these online people or are they real people?
Yeah, there's a huge backlash. So her little, I don't know how you pronounce her name, Tove is the name of the daughter. They posted a photograph of her and underneath was just vile, all the comments of why, because she used a surrogate, like just really awful stuff. And the husband came out and said, you don't know why, you know, that's just put love out into the universe instead of hate. So it just seems strange. Like, we don't know why. It's none of our business.
All right.
Why would you be that worked up? You guys don't care about this topic. You're not saying anything.
Why would you be so worked up is the...
Yeah.
I do not understand the desire that people have to get involved in other people's business. It ain't none of your business.
I know. It's so weird.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I wonder what do they get out of it?
I think that there is a movement. There is like a... They're calling it a feminist movement. It's not. And an anti-surrogacy movement, which is just saying that it's not ethical always
there's certainly, like, you know,
they're deciding if non-medically you don't need to do it, you shouldn't have to, but that's again not somebody's choice to make comment on.
There's horror stories about surrogacy, like around women actually being like
level
of care not be provided to them and
of course
and all of this, and but that's a different concern from you just did this because you want to stay skinny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
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 That's just abuse.
Well, the Breakfast Show covered it this morning, I think.
Yeah, they did. If you want to listen back, available as a podcast. Stay with us after the break. Last bit of the show.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a
yes, Ger Gilroy and Alison Curtis both still with me. Ger, I needed kind of clarification on this when I saw it. Salty ex-colleagues dishing dirt in public is the last thing you want to mention.
So, Jordan
Murphy. What former News Talk colleague of Ger?
Do you want a list?
Yeah.
Now to the liars. So, Jordan Murphy was head coach of the Leicester Tigers rugby team, and then he got moved upstairs, which is like polite form of okay, we love you, but off you go, and replaced by Steve Borthwick. And then Steve Borthwick did a reasonable job at Leicester and got the England job, and he's not doing a very good job with England. But the guy he replaced was an Australian with an acerbic tongue called Eddie Jones, who the players by the end seemed to have despised. He was like, he's been accused of being a bit of a bully, both to the staff who worked for the RFU and to the players, and undermining their confidence and all that kind of stuff. And Jordan Murphy has said nothing about anything. I would say, like, no one really would consider him as a pundit. He hasn't done much of that. But he reappeared this week and just started talking.
And what did he say?
I know Steve, that's Borthwick, who obviously was his replacement at Leicester, has a huge amount of respect for Eddie Jones, who was the guy who was bullied, or was the perceived bully as the head coach of England. Just from looking at the track record of the RFU employees that left under Eddie, I know that way of leading is a challenging one to get right, because you're putting a lot of pressure on people by screaming at them the whole time, and, you know, phoning them up and just being a bit of an oddball. If they do think of getting rid of Steve, then the questions have to be asked and fingers pointed elsewhere as well, because he is effectively just a tall Eddie Jones.
That's good shade. Sorry, but it is. Sorry, he's just a tall Eddie Jones.
Yeah. It went on and on and on and on, but I just thought
so he
that,
just kind of, this is a guy who, I struggle to think of anything interesting I've ever heard Jordan Murphy say. And basically, he just said, right, this is the week, I'm going to do it. I'm going to slate Eddie. I'm going to slate Steve Borthwick.
So I should obviously say Jordan Murphy is Irish, but spent his entire career at Leicester, so would be considered a bit of a Leicester legend. Borthwick was another Leicester legend. There was Borthwick, when he got the job, was like, I don't want to be your friend, to Jordan Murphy, who was like his director of rugby, going, well, that kind of set us off on the wrong path.
Yeah.
And then we never were friends after that. So now a dish served cold. And the week after, Ireland have just beaten England, smashed them in the second half. He's like, oh, I've been waiting for this precise moment.
This is my moment.
Yeah. Anyway, couldn't help himself. I mean, the better thing to do would just be say nothing, wouldn't it?
No, a tall Eddie. You're just a tall Eddie Jones.
It's a good line. Tall you Eddie Jones. At it, even for if, your giggle alone. Yeah.
It's a tall Eddie Jones.
If the French fans aren't chanting that this weekend, something has gone
He's
wrong.
He's just a tall Eddie Jones. I like it. Alison, what was the other thing you wanted to mention? True Detective.
Well, see, it's kind of what you were just saying, Jared, like going back and watching shows. So a couple of weeks ago, my husband and I were like, let's rewatch something because sometimes there's not something
there's
super appealing.
On. Yeah.
So I went back to True Detective season one, which is Matthew McConaughey, and Woody Harrelson.
Mm.
Did you like it?
I liked it up to a point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I'm also kind of, did you, Jared?
I don't remember that much. I just remember time was a flat circle. And
him
drinking all the beers.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I remember.
Well, actually, I didn't remember as much as I did either, but going back,
I thought
back,
the resolution annoyed me.
Okay.
I'm
not quite there again yet. I know what happened. I obviously
saw it. But you watched it already, Alison.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. But it was so
you've
long
managed
ago.
I have actually
amazed myself at how much I didn't remember of it.
Yeah.
So it was 2014.
That's a great sign.
Yeah, it's a good sign.
That's a really good sign, yeah.
And I'm loving
it. That keeps going. You'll be able to watch loads of things.
Yeah,
that you've seen
are you
before.
Guys again? What's happening?
I was going to say
short-term memory, long-term memory problems.
Dementia, or
but if I do, I'm loving it, and I think there's some merit in. So you have watched The Wire again?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I've watched The Sopranos three times.
Have you?
I've never watched again. Sopranos The Wire back.
I watched The Sopranos partly back.
It gets better. The first time you watch The Sopranos, you're like, I need to know what the plot. And it's urgent. The second time, you realise it's hilarious.
Yeah, it is actually.
Absolutely hilarious.
Really?
See, there is a merit in going back and watching things.
Okay.
I'm going to go back to Mad Men because it was my favourite thing.
But I don't know about True Detective though. Like
because
that's,
it's a mystery solved?
Well, it's a mystery and you know what the
but it's more
answer
like,
is.
For me, it's more about like how well they were together.
I can't remember.
Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, how well they played off each other together. Because like the cop, you know, dynamic is so old, but they've just brought something new to it then and again now. And I'm loving it, like loving it. So yeah, two more episodes.
Okay, so you recommend watching that again?
Yeah.
You're not recommending 1923?
Well, the second season's coming out in a couple of weeks' time and there was a bit of a cliffhanger at the end, so we'll probably watch it.
Okay.
Do you guys always agree? Because sometimes as partners, I'll be like, I want to watch this. Like I loved Only Murders a lot more than my husband did.
To the point where he wouldn't watch it?
We kind of didn't. I kind of went ahead, I think.
Yeah, all right. Well, mostly we'll suffer through each other's crap to get to the next thing that we like together. I think that's not the whole point of marriage.
Yeah, it's not marriage.
Not the whole point of marriage.
Just suffering through for those small little oases of agreement. Yeah, exactly.
Happen?
Yeah. Long tracks of suffering, short oases of agreement.
Welcome to Ireland.
Yes, exactly. I'm watching Shrinking.
It's so good. Is that because I told you to?
Yeah.
It's so good.
Really enjoying it.
Are you in season one or two?
We've just finished season one.
It's so great.
Really enjoyable.
I mean, I'd watch Harrison Ford.
So easy to watch.
Yeah.
He's better in Shrinking than he is in 19...
And he looks really nice in that new whiskey ad as well, even though he's 82. I will still say he looks very nice.
All right. Boris Becker and Harrison Ford. She has a type. Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM. Ger Gilroy from Off The Ball. Thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.